4. The heat of midsummer sits heavily over the castle and its gardens, the sky blazingly blue, the sun a white-hot eye overhead. It makes the nobles gathered for the Duke's banquet lazy and indolent, lolling around the manicured grounds under parasols, wafting themselves with oversized fans, and a small army of sweating servants flirt between them, some with chilled drinks, some with cups of tea, others with sweets and pastries and baskets of fragrant-smelling fruit. Young couples promenade along leafy walkways. Elderly parents sit at their ease around the leaping waters of the waterfall gardens. Children whoop and lose themselves in the winding paths of the topiary maze. It's a picture of summertime ease, of lavish opulence and unnecessary excess. Yennefer sits on a shady veranda as the afternoon winds itself to a close, silently wishing for just the faintest hint of a breeze. It's so fucking humid. The air practically dissolving into sweat the moment it touches her skin. And for the past few days, it hasn't been so bad. No, there's been enough wind that the heat has been bearable. But now, the weather has changed, and the heat presses down without any promise of relief. And her fucking wine isn't even chilled. She's stripped down to as few clothes as she can possibly wear without being genuinely indecent. A light, gauzy chiffon skirt, paired with a shortened bodice with nothing underneath that leaves her stomach bare, the laces done up a little too loose across her breasts. She's privately glad that she was invited to a summer banquet hosted by a Duke of Tassan, rather than any of the Northern Kingdoms proper. She can wear significantly fewer items of clothing here without being kicked out of the court. Not that the Duke would kick her out, she thinks. Mainly because she's fairly sure that he's trying to sleep with her. But also because her good word carries enough influence nowadays that even nobles want to get on her good side. That might also have something to do with the havoc that she wreaked 6 months ago in Leightonhove, of course. But she couldn't possibly speculate. Yennefer goes to pick up her wine glass, but then feels the warmth of the glass under her fingertips, the sticky lipstick marks around the rim. Her lips twist in a mew of distaste, and she pushes the glass away. Out in the grounds, across the rolling lawns, and in the hidden corners that the gardeners have crafted to hide the indiscretions of the highest families in the land, the afternoon's frivolities are winding down. The banquet itself will begin in only a few hours, and it's time for the high-born ladies to return to their rooms, to primp and preen, to paint their faces and oil their bodies and lathe themselves into whatever complex and local fashion they've chosen to flaunt tonight. It's a pageant, this kind of thing. An opportunity for the high and mighty to demonstrate to their peers exactly how high and mighty they are. To drip with jewels, to drape themselves in the most expensive velvets, the most intricate laces, the rarest brocades, to glimmer with more gold than a poor peasant's family will see in their lifetime. Yennefer's aware that, in reality, her presence here is just another way for the Duke to flaunt his own conspicuous power and influence. But, to be honest, she gets food, drink, and a brief holiday in Tassan out of it, so she really doesn't mind that much. Use and use alike, after all. And if the upshot is that she has a vaguely loyal Tassani duke who she can call to heel, she's more than willing to let herself be used, just this once. Yennefer! Yennefer twists in her chair, a smile already spreading across her lips. Yes, Gare. She says, as warm as the sun overhead, and accepts the kiss he presses to her cheek.
What are you doing here?
There's a flush to his cheeks. The ends of his hair are curling from the sweat that beads his neck, and he sits in the chair across from Yennefer with a flourish.
I'm performing at the banquet tonight,
he says, then smirks, tosses her a wink. I'm passing on a handful of... Let's go with memos to our glorious host. He grimaces, his expression as quicksilver sharp as it ever is, and plucks at his shirt,
fanning himself with his free hand.
Although I'm currently regretting both of those choices, given how fucking hot it is here. All I want to do is go and dive into one of those fountains over there. Gods, that would cool me down.
Not sure the Duke would be a huge fan of you dripping water all over his banqueting hall, Yennefer observes, a little arch.
Which is why I'm restraining myself, Yaskir sighs.
I am, however, planning on taking a midnight dip tonight. Strip off, go for a swim.
He grins at her.
Fancy joining me?
I'm not here to indulge your whims, Bard, Yennefer says.
No, you're here to lounge around, drink wine, and generally give the impression that you'd rather be literally anywhere but here,
Yaskir says, his eyes gleaming.
I happen to know for a fact that that's your specialty, Yennefer.
Yennefer hums, toying with her glass.
I would rather be anywhere but here, she drawls. Especially given who I hear they've hired for the entertainment tonight. I thought the Duke had better taste.
Yaskir makes an offended noise, presses his hand to his chest. I'm hurt, he says, and here I was, ready to dedicate my entire performance to you.
There is literally nothing I would like less.
You forget, Yennefer,
Yaskir says, smirking.
I know you, remember? I've heard you humming my songs when you think I'm not listening.
You have no proof of that, Yennefer says, and I'll deny it if you so much as imply it to anyone else.
Yaskir laughs.
I won't need to imply anything, he says.
I'll write a song about a violet-eyed sorceress whose voice is as sweet as the song of her favorite lark, and sing it in every court you've ever visited. And a few you haven't. It'll spread like wildfire.
Yennefer scoffs. I'm not the one you write songs about, Yaskir, she says. Wouldn't a sudden switch from the mighty white wolf to a bewitching witch be a little jarring for your usual audience?
Yaskir's eyes light up.
Ooh, the bewitching witch. I like that. Might have to borrow it.
He pauses, flashes her a sharp smile.
Do you really think I haven't already written songs about you, Yennefer?
The only songs you've written about me, Yennefer observes, are the ones where you use me as a literary device to explore your unrequited love for Geralt.
Yaskir flushes.
That's one song!
Quite a catchy one, though, Yennefer says, examining her nails. Sometimes Sabrina whistles it to me when she thinks I'm not paying attention.
Yaskir grimaces.
In my defense, he says, I wrote that while I was still pretty sure that underneath all that perfume and makeup, you were actually some kind of slimy swamp monster wearing a human skin suit.
Yennefer stares at him.
That's actually one of the more creative insults I've ever heard, she says, oddly surprised.
I'm impressed.
I had a lot of time to think about it, Yaskir says, his lips twitching in an uncontrollable smile.
And it was a toss-up between the swamp monster and a skin suit idea and some kind of succubus Brooksa siren hybrid.
You know, that classic misogynistic portrait of the wicked hypersexualized woman who usually needs to be tamed and punished by a manly sword-swinging knight.
I'm flattered that you went with the swamp monster, Yennefer says dryly.
Oh, it's no reflection on you,
Yaskir says breezily.
No, anyone at Oxenford can tell you that I'm not known for my adherence to classical song patterns. Ugh, gods, they bore me. I'm much more interested in originality than in any kind of rehash of dull themes that have been done to death 100 times before.
Do you know what bores me, my naiad? Yennefer asks,
lips curling in a smirk. Yasker's eyes are sparkling in the late afternoon sunlight, his cheeks flushed in the heat, a curl of his hair sticking to his forehead. His shirt is so thin that it's practically see-through in places, hinting at the muscles of his chest, his dark hair, the surprising slimness of his waist. "Is it me, by any chance?" he asks, lips twisting in a smile. "You read my mind," Yennefer deadpans. Yasker laughs. "I'm pretty sure that's your area," he says, then looks out across the gardens, at the hazy heat and the still green lawns, at the gardeners who are diligently watering the vibrant summer flowers, and the servants who are tidying up the detritus left behind by the carelessly picnicking nobles. "Well," he says, running a hand through his damp hair, "I should probably go get ready. Might try to get a little less disgustingly sweaty before I have to dance around in front of dozens of nobles and get disgustingly sweaty all over again."
"How pleasant."
Yasker shrugs. "Well, I can't get away with dressing quite as scandalously as you, Yennefer," he says, and casts an assessing gaze down over her outfit, eyebrow raised. "I mean, you're definitely working it. I'm not saying you're not. But I'm pretty sure I've been to brothels where the girls wear more clothes."
"Are you calling me a whore, Yasker?"
Yennefer asks. And she should probably be offended, really. But all she is at this exact moment is amused and lazy in the summer heat. Yasker pauses, thinks back over his own words.
"I think I'm actually saying you're less respectable than a whore," he says, forehead creased.
"I'll be honest, it's very hot, and I'm very jealous of your breezy-looking outfit. It makes thinking difficult."
He flashes her a smile. "I'll come find you once I finish performing. I'll grab us a bottle of wine, and we can see where the night takes us."
He laughs. "I vote the fountains."
"I'm not getting in a fountain with you," Yennefer drawls.
"But you will drink my wine?"
"Exactly."
Yasker laughs. And for a moment, Yennefer just watches him. The brightness of his smile, the summer sheen of his skin, the redness of his lips, and the blueness of his eyes. "Far be it from me to question the whims and wiles of Yennefer of Vangerberg," he says, as overdramatic and flamboyant as usual. "Try not to cry too much at my performance, by the way. It's hot. Wouldn't want you to get dehydrated."
"Go away, Yasker," Yennefer orders, and turns her back on him so he can't see her smile.
Yasker goes, laughing softly under his breath, and leaves her alone with the heat. Yennefer goes back to her rooms after a little while, mainly because it's significantly cooler inside the castle's thick stone walls than out in the gardens. She washes, changes into a gauzy, off-the-shoulder black dress that's just on the right side of completely sheer, then sits in front of the gilt-framed mirror and reapplies her makeup. Red lips and violet eyelids and dark kohl tryst around her eyes and through her lashes. She dabs perfume behind her ears and across her wrists, then runs oiled hands through her hair, leaving it darkly gleaming and curling in all the right places. Her obsidian star sits comfortably around her neck on its velvet ribbon, and for a long moment, Yennefer just studies herself in the mirror. The perfect symmetry of the makeup, the fullness of her lips, the darkness of her eyes. She's not entirely sure why, but she briefly thinks of Yasker. The Duke's banqueting hall is sprawlingly large and expensively decorated. Intricately woven tapestries hanging from the walls, and fresh rushes strewn across the floor, arrangements of summer flowers winding down the long tables, and bright crystal glasses shining at every place setting. Despite herself, Yennefer is mildly impressed, but she's not about to let the Duke know that, so she takes her seat at his table with a carefully cultivated expression of supreme boredom.
She's sitting between the Duke's wife, a mousy thing with thick blonde hair that falls to her waist, and a boorish older man who she thinks might be his uncle, but she really can't be sure because he's already so drunk that he can barely speak. The mouse wife offers her a few awkward compliments. The drunken uncle slurs something that sounds like it might be about the architecture of the castle. Or about the shape of her ears. She honestly can't tell. But then the music starts, and they all have an excuse to not have to talk to each other anymore. There's a small band at the far end of the hall. A piper, a drummer, and a flautist decked out in their finest summer attire. And Yaskir, of course, picking out complicated melodies on his lute without even looking at the strings, singing in that fair, rich voice that Yennefer has spent so many evenings wrecking with vast quantities of alcohol and off-key screeching. It's actually fairly rare that Yennefer ends up in the same court as Yaskir, so she hasn't had that many opportunities to see him perform to the full extent of his abilities. And as she eats and drinks and makes an art out of ignoring her table mates, she finds herself more than a little entranced. Not that she'd tell him that, of course. The last thing he needs is a boost to his already inflated ego. The music starts out as lively but innocuous, providing just the right atmosphere for people who don't know each other that well to make polite conversation and drink perhaps a little more than is strictly necessary. When the food has been served, the band switches to dancing tunes, jigs and reels, and Yennefer watches, amused, as a number of nobles who really shouldn't be trying their hands at dancing get to their feet, stumbling around the floor with all the grace of newborn deer. One middle-aged man with an overhanging gut and a well-trimmed beard has a cup of wine in his hand as he dances, and he somehow manages to spill the whole thing over himself without getting a drop on the floor. Privately, Yennefer is almost impressed, and when she catches Yaskir's eye over the bearded noble's weaving head, she can see the amusement written plain as day in his expression, too. Yaskir tosses her a wink and keeps on singing. The dancers tire eventually, and when they're tripping over their own feet on their way back to their tables, Yennefer notices that the sun has finally sunk below the horizon. The music shifts again, away from the manic energy of the dancing to something slower, softer, not quite melancholic, but definitely going in that direction. Yennefer finds herself listening to the words that Yaskir sings. Songs of love and heartbreak, of longing and yearning. And she smiles to herself, just a little. Imagines Geralt's face if he could hear all the nonsense his bard is spinning about him. The thinly veiled wolf metaphors. Okay, she understands where he's coming from, and the poetic license really isn't too excessive. But in the name of all the gods, why is Yaskir singing about the velvet beauty of the obsidian black sky, all bejeweled with stars? If it was a swirling gust of snow, she could maybe accept it. Or something about the slow dance of apple blossoms in the spring. But has Yaskir somehow managed to miss the fact that Geralt's hair is white? It hits her like an arrowhead between the shoulder blades. The song that Yaskir is singing isn't as slow as some of the others in his repertoire, but that's not to say that it's exactly upbeat. It's slow and sultry, lyrical and languorous, with a soft, lilting melody that Yennefer somehow knows she'll be humming under her breath for the rest of her life. She listens, rapt, as Yaskir sings of a love that is flawed and imperfect and unreturned. A love that will never be put to one side and forgotten. A love that loves another with all the fire and fury of a cautious, aching heart. He sings of the blackness of the midnight sky and the bruised purple of gathering storm clouds. Of being so close but never being able to touch. Of the agony of the empty spaces and the ecstasy of shared experience. He sings of sharing so many things. Wine and whiskey, adventure and ale, and he sings of his own arrogance, his own conceit, because he has so much already, but he can't stop himself from wanting more. He sings of the sweetness of his pain, the ache of his heart, the joy of every stolen touch and every gifted smile. It's a love song. Yaskir is singing a love song, pure and unadulterated. And it's about Yennefer. And it's not even fucking subtle. Yennefer's heart is beating so loud in her ears that she can barely think. She's on her feet before she really knows what she's doing. Everyone at the Duke's table drunk enough that they pay her no attention. And she's not fleeing the banquet hall. No, she's Yennefer of Vengaburg. She doesn't flee. But she definitely leaves in a hurry. Her throat stained with bile. Her fingers curled into claws in the skirts of her dress. Yaskir's attention is elsewhere, fortunately, serenading some dark-haired young marchioness who's looking up at him with drunken, adoring eyes. And the last thing Yennefer sees before she makes good her escape is that marchioness' fingers, tracing delicate patterns in the embroidered sleeve of Yaskir's doublet. A familiar bitter pain slices into her gut at the sight. A bitterness she's felt before. Felt every time Yaskir flirts with a barmaid or laughs at a knight's bad joke. And for the very first time, Yennefer realizes what that pain is. It's jealousy. Oh, fuck, Yennefer mutters to herself, and practically runs out into the gardens. She loses herself in the gardens, prowling around the rose bushes and the pine trees, meandering between the statues and the topiary, pacing the paths until she comes to a small artificial grove, sweet-smelling pear trees all around, a small fountain whispering quietly in the shadows. It's a clear night with a full moon, round and shining in the darkness, so the little grove is surprisingly bright, everything coated in a silvery white light that makes the water in the fountain sparkle. The grass is soft beneath her heels. The air is still warm, but no longer humid. Yennefer sits on the edge of the fountain, skims her fingertips through the moonlit surface of the water, and feels the memory of Yaskir's song wrapped around her like spider silk. She could be jumping to conclusions. She could be inventing the whole thing, extrapolating from hints that aren't there, because it's common imagery, isn't it? Storms, the night sky, stars, the pain of unrequited love, it's all very standard poetic fare. You don't have to be an Oxenford professor to know that. He could just be pulling from the broader canon of poetic song-making, creating some kind of pastiche of historical trends in love poetry in order to, what, demonstrate his erudition? It's just a game. A clever little showpiece that he wrote in some academic soiree at Oxenford, and he's singing it now as a joke, a mockery, a way for him to laugh at his audience even as he delights them and earns his payment. Except Yennefer heard the sincerity in his voice as he sang. "Shit," she says, loud in the moonlit quiet. And she's thinking about it now. Thinking about him. And the more she thinks about it, the more she realizes that she's been so blind. The delight in his eyes every time he sees her. The easiness of his smiles and the brightness of his laughter. And the way that his touch always lingers ever so slightly. His fingers at her wrist, his knee bumping against hers under the table. The softness in his expression, the warmth that his presence sparks in her stomach. Yennefer's heart is beating out of her chest. "Fuck," she whispers, leaning forward, burying her face in her hands. His smell on the sheets of Geralt's bed in Ardkerrig. The relief in his eyes in the back of that rickety old wagon.
His handwriting, looping and scrolling across the back of Geralt's letter. His fucking bravery in walking up to her table that day in Vizima, est in one hand, heart open and full of hope. His fingers in her hair, his breath against the back of her neck. His words on Geralt's lips, saying, "More than I ever thought I could." Yennefer's hands are shaking. "There you are!" Yennefer sits bolt upright, her heart seizing in her chest. Yaskir is swaggering towards her, a bottle in one hand and an easy grin on his lips. He laughs, a little rough, a little hoarse, and waggles his eyebrows at her teasingly. "Had a bit too much to drink, my darling Naiad?" he asks, coming to perch next to her on the side of the fountain. "I snagged us a bottle of that 57 Esdest I told you about. Found it under one of the tables at the side of the banqueting hall. Gods, I wish I had the kind of cash to just leave a 57 Esdest rolling around on the floor." He grins at her, his skin flushed, his clothes disheveled, his hair looking exactly like he spent the last several hours dancing and singing and playing his heart out. "Couldn't find any glasses, though, so I'm afraid we're just gonna have to share the bottle. Nothing we haven't done before." Yennefer just stares at him. And for the first time in a very long while, she really has no idea what to say. Yaskir frowns at her, reaches out, touches her arm. "Yennefer?" he asks. "I was joking about the whole too much wine thing, but you look like you're about to keel over. Are you all right?" Something flashes in his expression, fierce and dreadful, and he shifts closer, concerned. "Did someone give you something?" he asks, quieter, his hands hovering just above her skin. She can feel the heat of his palm radiating through the air. "Food or drink that didn't taste quite right. Wouldn't be the first time some bastard duke has decided to take something he wanted the ungentlemanly way." "No," Yennefer interrupts. And everything in her wants to reach up, to take his hand, to close the distance between them and feel the warmth of his skin. But she can't. "What's going on?" Yaskir asks, clearly worried. He sets the uncorked bottle of Estes down on the ground next to him, ready to catch her if he needs to support her any way he can. But he still doesn't touch her, doesn't cross her boundaries without her permission. And usually Yennefer would appreciate that, but right now all she wants is to touch him. Fuck, she wants him. "Yennefer?" Yennefer looks up, meets his gaze. "I heard your song," she says flatly. Yaskir blinks. "That's kind of the point of a performance, Yennefer," he says slowly. "Lots of people hear my singing. That's what I was hired for."
"No, I don't mean I heard your damn performance, Yaskir," Yennefer snaps. "I mean I heard your song."
"Which song?" Yaskir asks, looking genuinely bemused. "I sang a lot of songs tonight. I mean, you can probably tell from how raspy my voice is."
Yennefer feels a cold hand close around her heart because... Oh, fuck. She did read it wrong. He was just singing some showpiece, some learned joke, some Oxenfurt prank that she took seriously. Embarrassing, so fucking embarrassing. But not just embarrassing, because now there's a fire burning in her heart, a yearning that she's felt for so long now but never looked at, not really, never paid enough attention to, and he's going to turn around and fucking laugh at her. She's lost a lot in her life. She doesn't want to lose him as well.
All of a sudden, Yaskir's eyes go wide. Oh, he says, more than a little strangled. That song. For a long second, they just sit there, staring at each other. Yennefer isn't sure what shatters the moment, but all of a sudden, Yaskir is on his feet, scrambling away from her, his shoulders hunched and his hands held up in front of himself, protecting himself, warding her off. I'm sorry, he says, his voice rich with regret. I'm so sorry, Yennefer. I never meant for you to know. I didn't... I shouldn't... He breaks off, scrubs a hand through his hair. Shit, he mutters. I guess I'm just used to people not actually listening to what I'm singing in my songs. You can blame Geralt for that. I didn't think you'd work it out. It wasn't exactly fucking subtle, Yaskir, Yennefer says. Yaskir flinches. Yeah, I guess not. He sighs. Shit. Look, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't. I mean, I've managed this far, haven't I? Just forget it ever happened. I'll get over it. His face scrunches up. Well, I mean, I haven't actually managed to get over it this far, but I'm sure it'll be fine. I'll work something out. And I guess I'll retire that song from my repertoire, which is a shame, because it's actually quite a good one, you know? Yaskir. Or I can just leave, Yaskir says, his voice flatter, his shoulders hunching even tighter. It's okay. I won't be offended if you don't want to see me again. We can figure out some kind of, I don't know, schedule when it comes to Geralt. Or he can just mediate between us, something like that. He grimaces. God, I should have just kept my fucking mouth shut. Yes, Gear, Yennefer snaps and gets to her feet. Yes, Gear freezes, staring at her like a startled fawn. Yennefer crosses the space between them in a handful of steps, the soft grass giving way beneath her dagger-sharp heels, the air still and warm and bright with the silver moonlight. She grips the front of Yaskir's pale blue doublet with one hand, slides the other around the back of his neck, and kisses him, hard and fierce. He makes a muffled sound of surprise against her lips, still frozen, but then she winds her fingers into his hair and pulls, and he practically melts, his hands cupping her face, calluses rough against her cheeks, and kisses her with a desperation that borders on ecstasy. Yennefer's heart is fluttering in her chest, light as a bird. Yaskir makes another muted noise in the back of his throat and abruptly pulls back, stumbling away from her, his hands dropping from her face. No, he says, and Yennefer realizes with a start that there are tears in his eyes. No, Yennefer, I can't. Bile floods the back of her throat. What do you mean you can't? There's a pain in Yaskir's eyes that Yennefer has only seen a handful of times before. A rawness that he is so very talented at keeping hidden. I spent years in Geralt's bed and not in his heart, Yaskir says, the words spilling out like water. And yeah, the sex was great, really, really fantastic, top marks, can't complain. And admittedly, it all worked out rather well in the end, but I can't do that again. He's breathing heavily, almost panting. Yennefer can see that his hands are trembling. Yennefer, he says, his voice just as uneven. Trust me, I never thought I'd be saying this to you when we met all those years ago in Rind, but I love you. I can't go to bed with you when I know you don't feel the same. Yennefer's heart is beating so hard that for a second she forgets to breathe. "Don't presume to know how I feel, Yaskir," she says, her voice hoarse and raspy, croaky like she hasn't spoken in years. "Don't ever presume to know my heart." Something flickers in Yaskir's eyes, something sharp and longing and... Oh, how did Yennefer not realize for so long? "Then tell me," he says, his voice shaking. "Please, gods, Yennefer, tell me right now, because if you're saying what I think you're saying, I may fucking die on the spot." The sheer joy in his face every time he sees her, and the answering swell in her heart. The overwhelming terror she felt when she heard he'd disappeared, and the staggering, heart-stopping relief she felt when she found him. The way his touch burns across her skin. The hope that blazes in his eyes as he stands in front of her, skin gleaming in the moonlight, and the wonder that sparks in her heart at the sight. The wonder and the desire. She loves him. What the fuck? She loves him. "Oh my gods. I love you," Yennefer says, because it seems like this is a revelation he should probably share in. "You don't have to sound so annoyed about it," Yaskir barks, but there's a smile starting to twitch his lips, broad and beaming. "I am annoyed about it," Yennefer says, closing the distance between them, grabbing him by the front of his shirt and pulling him in for a kiss. "It's embarrassing." "Embarrassing?" Yaskir asks, his hands sliding down her sides to her hips, pulling her flesh against him with a force that makes something warm and wet kindle in her belly. He kisses her, intense and so fucking erotic. "I'll have you know that I'm famous for my abilities as a lover," he whispers between her lips, his breath hot, his hands tight. "Exactly," Yennefer says, running her hands through his hair, digging her nails into his scalp and smirking at the shiver that sends through his body. "You're famous for being a bard who can't keep his overeager cock to himself. Hardly a lover befitting a sorceress of my station." Yaskir laughs, rolling his hips against hers, and with a shudder, Yennefer realizes that he's hard as a rock from nothing more than a few kisses. "My cock's only eager for you right now," he whispers in her ear. "That," Yennefer says, aiming for scathing but not quite able to keep her voice steady, "is the worst attempt at flirting I've ever heard." "Pretty sure we're beyond flirting at this point," Yaskir says, and with a burst of strength that Yennefer didn't expect, he picks her up, his hands under her thighs, guiding her legs around his waist. His cock is hard and insistent, nothing but a few layers of thin fabric separating them, and Yaskir groans softly as she grinds down against him as much as she can. "Yennefer," he gasps. And all of a sudden, there's the rough bark of a tree against her back, catching in her hair, scratching against her bare shoulders. Yaskir's fingertips are dug deep into her thighs, almost painful. "God, Yennefer, I really want to fuck you right now!" A bolt of heat shocks straight to Yennefer's core. "Yes," she gasps, reaches between them to fumble their clothing out of the way, and she should probably be embarrassed at the neediness in her voice, but then her fingers wrap around Yaskir's cock, and he moans against her throat, as musical as everything he does, and she realizes she doesn't fucking care. She strokes him a few times, hard and fast, glorying in his stuttering breaths, but then she hears him groan her name, thick with want, and a fresh burst of arousal shudders through her. She nearly rips a hole in her dress to pull it up around her waist, the flimsy fabric catching in her nails and snagging against the embroidery of his doublet. But then her fucking skirts are finally out of the way, and he's sinking into her, thick and searingly hot. Her brain sort of stops working at that point. Yennefer,
Yaskir groans against her throat and thrusts up into her, long and slow.
Yaskir, Yennefer gasps, her hand knotting in his hair, her arm wrapped tight around his shoulders. Come on, move!
Yaskir laughs against her throat, kisses her skin with his lips and his tongue and his teeth.
Your wish, my command,
he rasps, and starts to fuck her in earnest. She's not sure if it's chance, or if he really is as good a lover as he'd have her believe, but he's hitting the perfect spot inside her with every thrust, sending sparks bursting behind her eyelids. She absently realizes that she's making little panting moans as he fucks into her, rhythmic and powerful, his hands digging so deep into her thighs that he must be leaving bruises, and she feels her orgasm starting in slow build, hot and twisting in the pit of her stomach. Except then Yaskir slams into her one last time, barks at a long string of hoarse, breaking curses, and abruptly comes. His hips stutter a couple more times, nowhere near enough to get her off properly, and then he's trembling so much in the wake of his orgasm that she has to hurriedly unhook her legs from around his waist, get her feet back on the ground before she falls. His cock slips out of her with an obscene squelch, and she feels the hot slide of his cum down her thigh. Yaskir leans his forehead against the tray at her back, eyes closed, panting.
Shit.
Is that it? Yennefer demands, halfway between amused and offended. A dozen thrusts and you're done? What happened to your famed abilities as a lover?
In my defense,
Yaskir says, still catching his breath,
I've been in love with you for a while now, and I didn't exactly think I'd ever find myself in a situation where I got to fuck you against a tree.
He pauses, then nuzzles against her cheek, catching her lips in a surprisingly tender kiss.
Never thought I'd get to fuck you at all,
he admits, sinking to his knees with a wicked smile, pushing her dress back up around her waist and,
oh, fuck, licking the soft skin of her inner thigh clean of his own cum.
I was pretty sure you only had eyes for Geralt, he says, lifting her leg and hooking her thigh over his shoulder.
Which, you know, I get.
He slides his fingers into her, two, then three, and leans forward, adds his tongue, quick and,
God, so fucking dexterous.
But, he murmurs, his fingers pumping faster, faster, crooking at just the right angle.
Oh, gods, I've wanted to do this for so long.
Yennefer lets her head fall back against the tree trunk, her hands in his hair as he plays her like his fucking lute, confident and talented and,
fuck, she's never going to admit it, but he's right. He's good at this.
She cries out into the moonlit night, her pleasure a counterpoint to the hums and groans and slick, dripping sounds he's making between her thighs, and that only makes him fuck her harder.
Oh, fuck!
Yennefer gasps, then feels her legs start to genuinely tremble, her knees about to give way.
Shit, Yaskir, stop!
She asks, then pushes him away, sends him sprawling out on his back across the grass. Yaskir's lips and chin are wet and glistening with her arousal and his cum. He looks up at her, his expression shocked, confused.
Gods, I'm sorry, what did I...
Yennefer settles astride his face, grabs a handful of his hair, and guides his mouth back to exactly where she wants it.
If you kept doing that, she says, then moans as he wraps his arms around her thighs, buries his tongue inside her. I was going to fall and break my fucking ankle. Have you seen these shoes?
He tries to pull back, presumably to come out with some pithy, sarcastic response.
But she has precisely no interest in his wit right now, so she just tugs sharply at his hair, keeps him where she wants him. Which turns out to be an excellent idea, because she hears his answering moan, feels him tremble under her. Heat thrills through her, and she grinds down against him, breathing hard. "Get on with it then, Bard," she whispers, as commanding as she can when her thighs are practically quivering with pleasure. "Make me come." And, somewhat unsurprisingly, he does. Yennefer comes with a broken cry, head thrown back, black hair cascading down her back like the obsidian black velvet of the night sky above them. Yesker keeps going as she bucks on top of him, fingers squeezing the bare skin of her hips, kissing and licking and humming his satisfaction into the crook of her thighs, and it's absolute ecstasy until she comes shuddering down from her high, and all of a sudden it's too much. She pushes him away with a quiet groan, slides onto the grass at his side, and lies back, breathing hard, staring up at the moonlit trees that arch overhead like a lover's bower. Yaskir wipes his mouth with the back of his hand, his expression smug. "Any comments?" he asks, merry and laughing. "Feedback? Pointers on areas to improve? Come on, witch, I'm sure you can give me a review." Yennefer looks at him flatly. "You talk too much," she says. "I only have one use for your tongue, and it's unrelated to your words." Yaskir's eyes flash, and he crawls on top of her, presses one thigh between her legs, and claims her lips in a kiss that's blazingly hot, and tastes of them both. "Good luck getting me to shut up," he murmurs against her lips, kissing her again. "I have it on good authority that I'm very noisy in bed." His smile is wicked. "Although, if you choose to shut me up like that again, I can't say I'd complain. I am more than happy to be naught but a throne for you to mount at your leisure. A willing mouth for your unending, ecstatic pleasure." He kisses her again, his hands on either side of her head, and she feels desire stirring in her gut once more. "I would happily die with my head between your legs," Yaskir murmurs, "with my fingers in your wet purse, and my tongue lapping at your nub of delight." Yennefer snorts, rolls them over, and settles herself astride his hips. "Talk about my nub of delight again," she says, grabbing his half-hard cock and squeezing a little too tight to be pleasurable. "And I'll cut yours off." Yaskir yelps, but Yennefer notes with interest that the sound isn't entirely pained. "Excuse me, I described that as more than a nub," he mutters, trying to bat her hands away. Yennefer ignores his paltry efforts, runs her thumbnail up the underside of his cock, squeezes the head. "I don't know," she says, mock thoughtful, as his eyes roll back in his head and he makes a muffled moaning noise. "I'm not sure that nub isn't the best description. You're thick, but not overly long. Rather nub-like, if you ask me." "Stop describing my cock," Yaskir husks, wriggling away from her, his cheeks flushed and his hair wild. Yennefer lets him go, settling back onto the grass with her chin propped in her hands, and watches as he scrambles to his feet, fumbling his trousers closed. "And it is not nub-like," he insists, a little petulantly. "It's been inside plenty of people who've been very satisfied with its length." "I've yet to see proof of that," Yennefer drawls. "Fair point," Yaskir allows, then pads to the fountain and collects the still untouched bottle of Estest. He comes back to her, sits down on the grass at her side, then takes a long drink before handing her the bottle. "Give me half an hour or so," And I'll prove it to you all night long. You sure you can manage all night long? Yennefer asks, dripping with sarcasm. And drinks. You struggled with 30 seconds before. Yaskir huffs out an offended breath, snatches the bottle back. Not all of us have Geralt stamina, he protests. I am but a mere human bard, unmutated and very mortal. And, okay, admittedly, I got a little overexcited before, but I was fucking the most gorgeous woman I've ever met after being pretty convinced only a few minutes beforehand that I'd horribly offended her and was probably never going to see her again. His voice cracks a little. It was a very fraught situation. Yennefer sits up, takes the bottle of wine from Yaskir's hands, and sets it to one side. And as she does so, he watches her in silence, his face shadowed, his eyes bright and unreadable. She kisses him softly, gently, a world away from the raging passion of moments ago. And they've already fucked, already made each other come, already devoured each other with all the fury of the chaos that burns up in Yennefer's heart. But somehow this kiss feels more intimate than any of that. Yaskir studies her for a moment, his hand cupping her neck, his thumb stroking her cheek. Did you mean it? He asks, soft and pausing. Something flutters in Yennefer's heart, constricting her chest. I meant it, she says. And the only thing that makes the flayed-open feeling in her heart bearable is the tiny, aching smile that curls his lips. They kiss for a moment longer, careful and slow and calm, learning each other for the first time. Yaskir tastes like wine and sex, and it turns out that when he's not desperate to fuck her into a tree, his touch is smooth and tender and, fuck, loving. She shifts, settles herself into his lap, and his hands map across her hips, slide up her back, run into her hair and hold her close, so close. And she knows what he is. She has no illusions about that. He's a bard. He's not a fighter. He's not a warrior. But with a sudden flash of surprise, Yennefer realizes that in his arms, she feels safe. Yaskir rests his forehead against hers, his lips stained red with wine and kisses. So, he says, clearly trying to sound more lighthearted than he feels. What now, my unfairly beautiful naiad? Yennefer knows what he's asking. They might be alone in this little grove, nothing but them and the stars, but they're not alone in this, whatever it is that's hanging between them like golden thread. Yennefer's pretty sure that Geralt's not going to have a problem with his lovers loving each other. It would be a little hypocritical if he did. But he's a strange, emotionally repressed man who wouldn't know a healthy approach to his emotions if it hit him in the face. They need to talk. Not just to each other, but to him as well. They need to share their expectations and their wants, their hopes and their feelings. They need to be open and honest and vulnerable with each other. Which is the last thing Yennefer wants to do right now? She kisses Yaskir again, harder, deeper. Now, she says, rigging her fingernails against his scalp, we go back to my room and find out if you can last longer than 30 seconds. Yaskir laughs, wraps his arms around her waist, and squeezes tight. Well, I appreciate that you're giving me a second chance to prove myself, he says wryly. We really do need to talk about... Yennefer cuts him off with a kiss, hurried and rushed, teeth bumping together. Tomorrow, she says, barely more than a breath. We'll talk tomorrow.
Yaskir studies her for a moment, frowning. But then she kisses him again and feels him relent.
Okay, he says, running a hand through her hair. But I will hold you to that, witch. Tomorrow, we have an adult conversation. Tonight, we fuck. A lot. Deal?
Are you really going to try to bargain with me, Bard? Yennefer asks, as softly dangerous as she can.
No, Yaskir says, and flashes her a smile. I'm just going to trust you.
And she can see in his eyes that he does. That he's seen the worst parts of her, her flaws, her spites, her bitterness. And he trusts her nonetheless.
Heat crawls in her belly, and she kisses him again.
It takes them a little while to make it back to Yennefer's rooms in the castle. Mainly because they keep having to stop every few minutes to kiss, to touch, to hold. And, on one memorable occasion, Yaskir to lift her up onto the stone balustrade just outside the banqueting hall, to spread her legs and sink to his knees, to make her come with a ferocious, single-minded intensity that has her sinking white teeth marks into the back of her hand. He grins at her when he's done, delicately lifting her skirts and settling them back into place before tugging her back down off the balustrade, and then settles her hand in the crook of his elbow and retrieves the wine with his free hand. After all, he says, casual and relaxed, like he didn't just have his head buried between her legs. I've got competition. I believe Geralt's record is 5? Yennefer feels a smirk twitching at her lips. 7, actually, she says, and Yaskir makes an impressed noise. That night in Oxenfurt last year, before I left for Novigrad, he laid me out on the bed that he'd shared with you the night before, and he didn't stop until I could barely speak. Heat flares in Yaskir's gaze.
I did tell you that the makeup sex was good,
he says. Our witcher does his best to make up for his lack of eloquence with other uses of his tongue. Yennefer hums her agreement and feels arousal twist deeper in her gut. The only illumination in her rooms is the moonlight that falls through the open windows, dappling patterns across the silken sheets, the embroidered pillows, the marble floors. Yennefer snaps her fingers, conjures a network of warm, dancing flames that flicker across the ceiling, bathing the room in a soft, gentle light that, Yennefer realizes with a start, is almost identical to the candlelight in that little inn room in Ardkerrig. Yaskir's looking up at the lights, a wondering smile on his lips. If I didn't know better, he says, voice soft, I'd say this was practically romantic. Would you like me to be romantic? Yennefer asks, taking the bottle of wine out of his hand. There's a couple of cups on the side, and she fills one, drinks. Would you like me to bring you flowers, Bard? She asks, watching him keenly. Perhaps I should shower you with gifts. Would you like that? Expensive clothes, musical instruments, jeweled rings. She sets her cup down, steps forward, pushes his undone doublet back off his shoulders, lets it drop to the ground. Or do you want me to take you out to dinner? She purrs, tugging his shirt free of his trousers, pulling it over his head. To buy you rare vintages and... She can't quite stop herself from smiling. Very, very blue cheeses. She runs her hands down his chest, scratching her fingernails across his nipples, making him hiss and jerk towards her. Pretty sure, Yaskir says, more than a little hoarse. And if they came from you, the flowers would be poisonous, I'd cut myself in the jewelry, and the cheese would make me vomit. Yennefer grabs his cock through his trousers,
delights in his strangled moans.
"You should take your clothes off," she says, as offhandedly as she can.
"I'm not the only one,"
Yaskir says, and his hands are at her shoulders, pushing her dress down, his every touch sparking like lightning against her skin. Her dress is light and loose-fitting, puddling around her feet like water, and, well, it was far too hot for small clothes today. Yaskir makes a softly pained noise in the back of his throat, his hand skimming down the curve of her hip, and he says,
"Fuck, Yennefer. I knew you were beautiful, but this is just..."
He trails off, licks his lips.
Something twists in Yennefer's stomach, a little bitter, a little dark.
"Only after me for my body, Bard?" she asks, eyebrow arched.
Because isn't that always the case?
Yaskir reaches out, his calloused fingertips ghosting across the soft swell of her breast. And it's the barest fucking touch, basically nothing. But it sends shudders trembling through Yennefer's bones.
"If I was only after your body, which,"
Yaskir says, rich with love, with history,
"I'd have tried to fuck you the moment I woke up in that bed in Rind."
"You did try to fuck me the moment you woke up in that bed in Rind,"
Yennefer points out.
"No, I asked you if we'd already fucked,"
Yaskir corrects.
"And then you tried to castrate me, which actually didn't really clear the matter up that much."
He flashes her a grin.
"No, what I'm after right now is a very specific combination of beautiful, deadly, and perfectly willing to steal my boots the morning after."
"That is a very specific combination," Yennefer says, feeling something warm and nameless curling up in her heart.
Now is not the time for sentiment, though, so she turns away from him, feels his gaze raking down her body as she pads to the bed and lays back against the pillows.
The silken sheets are heavenly against her heated skin, almost as satisfying as the expression on his face, awestruck, worshipful. And she can't resist the urge to spread her legs, to run her fingertips down her stomach, through the dark curls between her thighs, to sink her fingers into herself and arch back against the sheets, moaning softly.
"Oh, fuck, fuck, fuck," Yaskir mutters, and starts frantically scrabbling to get his trousers and boots off.
Yennefer's worked herself halfway to her third orgasm by the time he joins her on the bed, naked and stumbling and more than a little uncoordinated in his excitement. He crawls on top of her, kisses her brutally hard, and wastes no time in reaching between her legs, twining his hand with hers and fucking their joined fingers deeper into her. Yennefer cries out, hoarse and breaking, and she comes astonishingly fast. Yaskir above her and inside her, and pressing her down into the silken sheets as she keens through her climax.
Yaskir laughs in her ear, hoarse and low.
"Is that it?"
he whispers, and sucks a hot kiss into her throat.
"A dozen thrusts and you're done."
"Fuck off,"
Yennefer gasps, still trembling, and shoves him off her just to underline her point. Yaskir laughs again, lounging out across the sheets like some kind of jungle cat, cock hard and straining against his thigh.
"Fair's fair,"
he says, running calloused fingertips down her calf.
"It's just nice to know that I'm not the only one who's a little overeager."
Yennefer wants nothing more than to push him onto his back, sell herself astride his lap, and ride him until he finally learns to keep his smart mouth shut. She doesn't, though, and instead just studies him as she catches her breath, the dark hair across his chest, the flush in his cheeks, and the long, lean muscle of his thighs. Her lips twitch as something occurs to her, and to hide her smile, she gets to her feet, pads to the est-est, and pours herself another cup. It's sweet and rich on her tongue, And she pauses for a moment, savoring.
From the bed, Yasker makes an offended noise. Are you going to share that?
Yennefer doesn't bother to answer. She takes the cup with her, then goes to the gilt-framed mirror, lets her fingers linger over the various jars and bottles laid out across the table, letting Yasker see what she's doing, making him wait, making him wonder. After a long moment, broken only by the soft whisper of their breathing, her fingertips close around the small crystal flask of oil that she uses to run through her hair. Yasker pushes himself up on his elbows on the bed, and Yennefer's not sure if it's conscious, but she notices that his thighs fall a little further apart.
"Want to tell me what you're planning to do with that witch?"
he asks, a choked note in his voice that sends fire racing through Yennefer's bones. She goes back to the bed, wastes no time in seating herself across his waist, pointedly ignoring the insistent press of his cock. The flask of oil sits neatly on the bed next to her knee, glimmering in the magical firelight, and she offers him the cup of wine.
"I seem to remember you once telling me," she says, as Yasker takes the cup, drains what's left, "how much you enjoyed having Geralt's cock in your ass."
Yasker empties the cup, sets it down on the sheets.
"Hate to break it to you, Yennefer," he says, not quite able to keep a tremble of anticipation out of his voice. "But if we're talking about cocks and asses, you're missing an essential piece of equipment."
Yennefer presses her fingertips to his chest almost casually, pushes him back down to the mattress.
"Let me worry about that," she says, chasing him down, catching his wine-stained lips in a kiss.
"I'm in bed with you, an empty glass of wine, and some oil," Yasker says, but doesn't stop her from kissing her way down his neck, his chest.
He moans softly as she pinches his nipples, pushes his head back into the pillows.
"I can't decide if I'm really turned on or fucking terrified."
"You seem to be enjoying yourself just fine,"
Yennefer murmurs into his stomach, fingernails digging into his hips.
"Don't take the erection as proof of that," Yasker says, at which Yennefer raises an eyebrow, wraps her hand around his cock, and smirks at the resulting groan.
"That is unfair," Yasker objects.
"I'd like to inform you that I've ended up hard in a lot of inappropriate situations over the years. While I'm performing is always a little unfortunate, but I can usually use my lute to, you know, regain a little dignity."
Yennefer slides down the bed, knocking his legs further apart, stroking his cock with slow, lazy movements.
"I got worryingly turned on the first time I saw Geralt kill a Kikimora," Yasker says, staring up at the ceiling, sounding more and more wrecked with every passing second. "And, of course, he can smell it, which isn't embarrassing at all. So what I'm saying, Yennefer, is that you really can't take my physical state as evidence of my enjoyment, given that I'm apparently pretty unpredictable in that..." "Oh, God, Yennefer!"
Yennefer presses another open-mouthed kiss to the head of his cock, then lets go.
"Yes?"
she asks, the picture of innocence, and reaches for the flask of oil.
"Oh, fuck you!"
Yasker gasps, propping himself up so he can see her.
"Do you want me to beg? Because I'm not a proud man, I'll fucking beg."
"Beg for what?" Yennefer asks, carefully removing the stopper from the flask and pouring oil over her fingers. She doesn't meet his gaze, just rubs her fingertips together, luxuriating in the slow, smooth glide.
"Fucking touch me!" Yasker snaps. "Suck my cock, get your fingers in my ass, whatever it is you're planning, just fucking do it!"
Yennefer shrugs and puts the stoppered flask to one side.
"If you insist," she says, deliberately disinterested, and pushes two slick fingers into him without hesitation.
The sound that comes out of his mouth is pure filth. Half moan, half yelp. And Yennefer laughs, watches as his eyes roll back in his head, then starts to work her fingers in and out. "Tell me, Bard," she says, probing her chin on her free hand. "How do I compare?" "To Geralt?" The end of Yaskir's question gets a little high-pitched as Yennefer adds a third finger, the stretch fierce and aching. Yaskir pants for a second, hands scrabbling against the sheets. "I mean," he says after a moment, breathy, strangled. "It's not exactly bad, but I definitely think you could work on your technique. You know, maybe get him to show you..." "How's this?" Yennefer interrupts, and crooks her fingers just so. Yaskir shouts, raw and deep and uncontrollably loud. "Oh, fuck!" he gasps, his hips twitching up off the bed. Okay, you're amazing. You're the best I've ever had. Whatever you want me to say, just do not stop doing that."
"Doing what?"
Yennefer asks, tilting her head, and does it again.
"Fuck you," Yaskir pants.
"I'm doing my best," Yennefer drawls.
"Do better,"
Yaskir snaps.
"Are you going to touch my cock, or am I going to have to do it myself?"
"Be my guest."
"You're such a fucking..."
Yennefer cuts off whatever else she is, with a particularly brutal twist of her fingers, but Yaskir doesn't seem too perturbed. He wraps his hand around his cock, strokes himself in time with the rhythm of her fingers, his moans and whimpers and sighs filling the air, and Yennefer sinks down further, presses a kiss to the twitching muscles of his thigh, then very slowly, very deliberately, scrapes her teeth across his skin. Yaskir shoves up on one elbow, his hand stilling around his cock. There's an expression of shocked realization plastered across his face, and he blurts, "Yennefer, are you..." He doesn't get a chance to finish that thought. Yennefer thrusts her fingers in deep, pressing firm and relentless against the spot inside him that pulls all those wicked noises from his throat. And at the same time, she bites down on the soft flesh of his inner thigh, barely a handspan away from his balls, and bites down hard. Yaskir chokes, spasms, and comes with a shout, spilling across his frozen fist, his stomach, his chest, then collapses down into the pillows with a drawn-out groan. Yennefer kisses the spot she's bitten, smiling against his skin, as he whines low in his throat and carefully slides her fingers out of him. Yaskir makes a muted, dazed sound, staring up at the ceiling. "That," he says faintly, "is Geralt's favorite party trick."
"I know,"
Yennefer says with a smirk, wiping oil off her fingers and onto his thigh.
"He told me."
Yaskir groans, running the hand that isn't covered in his own cum through his hair.
"I'm not gonna lie," he says, his voice shaking. "The idea of you and Geralt talking about me when you're in bed together is very stimulating."
Yennefer traces her fingertips through the soft hair scattered across his pale thighs. "I was a little surprised," she says, pressing her nail into the bite mark she left on his skin. "Didn't pick you for someone who'd enjoy pain quite that much." "I enjoy a lot of things," Yaskir says absently, still staring at the ceiling, then looks down at her, spreads his thighs a little wider, and taps his fingers against a patch of skin that's significantly higher than the mark Yennefer made.
"You see this?"
It's half hidden by the curls of his hair, but with a jolt of surprise, Yennefer realizes that there's a circle of small white scars marring his skin, the exact right size for teeth. She touches it carefully, and for a second, concern flashes through her heart. Geralt did this? She asks, incredulous. Yasker lets his head fall back against the pillows. Not on purpose, he answers, his voice still somewhere between blissful and dozy. We fucked after one of his hunts, when he was still black-eyed and veiny and covered in monster blood. Which really shouldn't be as attractive as it is, you know? That man has a desperately unfair advantage in the looks department. He sighs, and Yennefer thoughtfully runs her thumb around the ring of scars. You know how he's always so careful with his strength? Yasker says. Always holding himself back, never really letting go. Yeah, turns out that when he's still high on his Witcher potions, he loses a lot of that restraint. And when his teeth are that sharp... He trails off, shrugs. He obviously felt horrible about it afterwards, but to be honest, I am perfectly okay with being thrown to the ground and fucked into next week. And being bitten so hard it scars? Yennefer asks, her lips twisting in a mew of distaste. Yasker shrugs. It's not the first scar I have because of Geralt's, and it probably won't be the last, he says, and presses his fingers into another scar on his thigh. This was a werewolf's claw, he says, then reaches up, brushes his fingertips across his neck, so very close to his carotid artery. And this was a Brooks's teeth. Yennefer must make some faint sound at that, because Yasker levers himself up onto his elbows and peers down at her. He grins. Why, my lady Yennefer, are you worried about me? Yennefer digs her thumb into the center of the scar on his thigh, isn't quite as satisfied by his offended yelp as she wants to be. This is a bad place for a bite to break the skin, she says. There's a lot of blood that runs through this area of the body. If he'd gone too deep, you could have been seriously hurt. Yasker's lips are curled in an achingly fond smile. You are worried about me, he exclaims. What, don't like the idea of your fragile little human getting hurt? Yennefer's mouth goes a little dry. Are you saying that you're mine, Yasker? Yaskir's expression stills. If you want me, I am, he says, almost reverent. Yennefer leans forward, presses a gentle kiss to the ring of scars under her fingers. I want you, she says, murmuring it into the soft curls of his hair, the warmth of his skin. I want you both. Yasker sits up, pulls her into his arms, kisses her with warmth and love and relief. If it's up to me, he says, quiet and affectionate, kisses her again. You'll have us both. Yennefer kisses him for a moment longer, her heart so fucking full in her chest, and she shifts closer. Her fingers in his hair, his body warm and solid against hers, his hands settling on her hips and his sticky hands. Yennefer pulls back, looks down at herself. I am covered, she says, icily cold, in your cum. Yasker doesn't even have the good grace to look sheepish. So am I, he points out brightly. And whose fault is that? You weren't exactly complaining at the time, Yennefer says. True, Yasker muses. And you were performing me a wonderful service as well. So I suppose I really shouldn't be so unhelpful. His arms tighten around her. And all of a sudden, he flips them over, presses her into the mattress, and grins down at her. Maybe I should offer to clean you up, he asks, eyebrow cocked, and leans down, runs his tongue along the mess of his cum that smeared across her breasts.
It's filthy and obscene, and definitely isn't the most efficient way to get either of them clean. But the sight of him worshipping her like that, the feel of his tongue and his hands, the scrape of his stubble, it's enough to have heat building in her belly once more. Yennefer grips his hair, twists him up to face her. "Might I remind you," she says, as haughty as she can manage, "that you're currently falling far short if you're intending to match Geld's achievements. 3 to his 7. Yaskir smirks. "If you want me to eat you out, my naiad, you only have to ask." "I'm not asking," Yennefer drawls. "I'm ordering." Yaskir's cheeks flush, and she feels him shiver against her. "All right, then," he says, voice thick with unabashed lust. 4 more orgasms coming up." Yennefer arches an eyebrow. "That's a bold claim," she says, dry as the desert. But Yaskir's already burying his head between her legs, eyes closed, fingers and tongue and... Oh, Yennefer can't help but moan. She hears Yaskir's soft laugh, but she's still got a hand in his hair and she shoves him back down before he can distract himself with some witticisms or sarcastic comment. After all, he has work to do. Yennefer comes twice more from his mouth and fingers, and by the time she's shivering against the silken sheets the second time, he's hard again. She repays the favor, sucks him off until he comes a third time. Honestly impressive for a human male his age. And if she thought he was noisy before, well, she had no idea. He babbles, talking nonsense about her mouth, her tongue, about other blowjobs he's received in the past, about other blowjobs he's given in the past. And it's when he somehow gets onto archaic Karakian erotic poetry that she decides that this is really unacceptable and makes it her mission to get him so worked up, so turned on, so flat out ruined that he finally shuts the fuck up. She brings him to the peak of orgasm 3 times, only to bring him back again, leaving him writhing and whimpering against the sheets. But he never stops talking. "Fuck, Yennefer, if you keep doing this, I swear to all the gods that you are going to kill me. And I don't mean that in a metaphorical way, I'm really not. You are actually going to fuck me to death. And you know what? I will die happy. Oh, fuck. Do they teach you this at Aretusa as well? Or did you just learn this through your long life fucking your way across the continent? Ow! Okay, no need to use your teeth that much. I'm very sorry, you're just a naturally talented cocksucker. No practice required." He does shut up when he comes, thankfully, arching off the bed, mouth gaping open in a slick red O. But the moment he can breathe again, slumped back against the pillows with his eyes closed and his body lax, he's off again. No talking this time, as a matter of fact. No, this time he's humming, mumbling something that she's pretty sure is song lyrics under his breath. Yennefer finally moves the empty wine cup and the crystal flask to the floor, then settles onto the bed next to him. "Yaskir," she says flatly. "Shut up." Yaskir cracks an eye, peers at her. It's an expression that's startlingly familiar. A sleepy, dozy look that she's seen in 12 rented rooms after 12 drunken nights. And it sends warmth and affection flooding through her heart. "Let me guess," he says, a sleepy note seeping into his voice. "Both my lovers don't appreciate the erotic ballads I write about them." He scoffs, then pulls her closer, wraps his arm around her shoulders, and presses a kiss to her temple. "You know, a lot of people actually pay me money to compose about them. You two get it for free, and all you do is complain." "Yaskir?" "Yennefer?" "Go to sleep," Yennefer says, "and shut up."
Yaskir laughs, his eyes closed, his fingertips playing delicately across her skin.
I love you, witch,
he says, simple, straightforward, like it's the easiest thing in the world to love like that, open, unapologetic, happy, and free.
Hey, don't worry,
he says, getting sleepier with every word.
I don't need you to say it back. Not all the time. Oh, that would probably make something break in your deep, dark, dramatic sorceress brain. I just need you to listen when I say it to you.
He sighs, shifts a little, and Yennefer listens to his breathing even out as he slips off into sleep, well fucked and utterly exhausted. She stays awake a little longer, tracing patterns across his chest, his skin tacky with sweat and other bodily fluids that she's trying not to identify. She doesn't think much, doesn't look at the knot of emotions that's tight and blazing in her chest, doesn't try to work out what happens next, where they go from here. No, instead she just lies there, Yaskir's arm loose around her shoulders, his body warm and solid next to her, and slowly falls asleep. They wake a little after dawn, the sound of birdsong filtering in through the open windows, and the magical lights that Yennefer set dancing across the ceiling have long since been banished by the soft, hazy light of a summer morning in Tassan. Yaskir kisses her, languid and a little sour, the calluses on his hands catching against her skin, and she shifts closer, strokes his cock to full hardness, then hooks her leg over his hip. They both groan as he sinks into her, slow and unhurried, and they rock together, small movements, lazy and gentle. Yaskir murmurs sleepily in Yennefer's ear as they fuck. You feel incredible. Yennefer, gods, so hot and wet and tight. Fuck, I wake up like this every morning. But Yennefer doesn't have it in her to be annoyed. Not right now. Not when his arms are around her and his voice is soft and hoarse against her throat, the sheets silky smooth beneath them and the air already heavy and hot with the weight of summer. Just for a second, as Yaskir kisses beads of sweat off her arched neck, the rhythm of his hips steady and even, as her orgasm builds slowly and unrelentingly in her belly, Yennefer lets out a shuddering breath and closes her eyes. She buries her face in his hair, loses herself in the sensation, in the feeling, in the simplicity of this moment. And maybe it's because she's still half awake. Maybe it's because she's barely slept. Maybe it's because of the constant litany of praise and love that's pouring over her. But just for a second, she lets go. Yaskir, she whispers, noses through his curling hair, presses a soft kiss to the shell of his ear. This is perfect. Gods, you're perfect. Yaskir's breath shudders against her throat. His fingers spasm tighter around her hip. He rolls her onto her back, doesn't meet her gaze, doesn't crack a joke, doesn't make a single sound, just buries his face in her hair and fucks her. Just as slow, just as gentle, just as loving. Yennefer moans, wraps her arms around his shoulder and her legs around his waist, holds him close, and meets his thrusts. And she'd never admit it to anyone, not even to him, but when she comes, there are tears in her eyes. Yaskir's hips stutter once, twice, before he stills, but all the noise he makes is a single sigh, long and low. He doesn't move for a long moment, just stays there, forehead pressed to the pillow, his arms braced on either side of Yennefer's ribs. His breathing is uneven, a little ragged, more so than it should be. Yennefer frowns, runs her hand through his hair. Yaskir? She asks. Are you all right? Yeah, Yaskir says, and doesn't move.
Are you going to move?
Yaskir's quiet for a moment longer, and then mutters,
Give me a minute. Yennefer blinks, stares up at the ceiling, not quite sure what to do. It's well within her power to just push him off her, to get out of bed and leave him to whatever odd mood seems to have struck him. But for some reason, she finds that she doesn't want to. She's wrapped up in him, his weight heavy above her, his cock softening inside her, his breath warm and damp against her skin. And there it is again, that strange little feeling in her chest. Safety, comfort, security. Not from monsters or mages or mercenaries, no, he'd have a hard time protecting her from any of those. But Yaskir is a different kind of safety. He would never hurt her, never break her heart. He would never reject her, never turn her aside in favor of another. Yennefer lets out a soft breath, strokes her hand through his hair again. I think this is the quietest you've ever been, she says, and kisses his temple.
Sorry,
Yaskir says, muffled by the pillow, then shifts, pushes himself up so they're nose to nose. His eyes are glimmeringly bright, and he kisses her softly, tenderly. Just get a bit overwhelmed. It happens sometimes. Yennefer raises an eyebrow. Doesn't let him move away. That's what overwhelmed you? She teases. After everything we did last night, that's what pushes you over the edge? Yaskir doesn't laugh. It was what you said, he says quietly. It's not the kind of thing I get told often, so it means a lot. He pauses, smiles a crooked little smile. It means even more coming from you. There's a strange kind of panic rising in Yennefer's throat, raw and exposed and aching. It's almost overwhelming, in fact. Too much, too intimate, too naked. But she looks up at him, framed against the sunlight, eyes blue and, she abruptly realizes, shining with unshed tears. And somehow it settles her heart. She brushes her fingertips down his cheek, tilts his chin up, kisses him softly. I meant it, she says, the words like thorns on her tongue. You are special. To me. She cocks an eyebrow, smirks a little. And the only reason anyone would think you were less than perfect, Bard, is if they haven't had you between their thighs. Yaskir's lips twitch just a little. You'd be surprised, he says, a little cryptic, then tilts his head, swoops down to kiss her. So is this you trying to encourage me to go and fuck other people? He asks, amusement rich in his voice. Because that seems like a slightly odd thing to do right now. Yennefer wraps her legs around his waist, squeezes tight. The only other person you're allowed to fuck, she says, crossing her ankles, locking him in place. Is Geralt. And even then, I want you to be thinking about me. Yaskir groans, kisses her. You are insatiable, he whispers against her lips, grinning. Then wriggles his hips, fights his way free from her grasp, and collapses onto the bed next to her. He kisses her shoulder, throws his arm across her stomach. We do need to talk, you know, he laughs. And you did promise me that we'd have an adult conversation this morning. This isn't the most straightforward situation, you know. No, Yennefer says, playing absently with his hair, sweaty and in desperate need of washing. I think it's actually very simple. Yaskir cocks an eyebrow. Enlighten me. You love me, Yennefer says, her throat tight. And for some God's forsaken reason, I love you. She sees Yaskir's smile, small and warm and so fucking happy. We both love Geralt, not that the fool deserves it most of the time, and he loves us both in return.
Darkness flickers in Yaskir's eyes.
And if he doesn't love us enough to share us?
He asks, softer.
Not everyone can do that. And you know how protective he can be, how possessive.
Then he is a hypocrite of the highest order, Yennefer says, her voice sharp. And I will be most disappointed with him.
Yaskir laughs, leans forward to kiss her again.
Why do I get the feeling, he murmurs against her shoulder, that your version of disappointed involves a lot more disemboweling than mine?
I wouldn't disembowel him, Yennefer says primly. Ciri would be rather unhappy with me if I disemboweled him after all. I'd just make his life very difficult for a while. And then I'd come to you, and I'd strip you naked. And I'd fuck you until you couldn't remember anything but my name.
She pauses, smirks.
And I'd shower you with all the lavender mead you could possibly want.
Promises, promises. Yaskir murmurs, but he's smiling again.
And with a jolt, Yennefer realizes that right now, that's all that matters.
She reaches out, brushes her thumb against his lower lip, red and full and wet.
You do realize, my naiad, she says,
little more than a breath,
that as things stand, you're still one behind our witcher.
Is that so?
Yaskir asks, aping disinterest. But his hand is dancing down her stomach, dipping lower, his touch like lightning against her skin even now.
Well, he says, slipping his fingers between her legs, nudging her thighs wider.
I'll have to do something about that, won't I?
I think you will, Yennefer says. And when he kisses her, leisurely and luxurious in the summertime heat, she feels such a flush of pure, unrivaled joy that she can barely stand it. She pushes her head back into the pillows, sighs at the slow rhythm of Yaskir's fingers, the smell of his sweat, the weight of his body. And here, in this moment, surrounded by the silk of the sheets and the certainty of her ridiculous, over-the-top, extravagant bard's love, Yennefer is inescapably happy.